Recordings have started. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbie. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is a Standing Committee on Improvements Implementation meeting on Thursday, the 10th of December, 2015. On the call today, we have Rudy Van Snick, Amr Alstar, Angie Graves, Martin Silva, Lori Schulman, and Wolf Ulrich Nobin. We have apologies from Julie Hedlund. From staff, we have Mary Wong, Glendy St. Jerry, Michelle DeSmiter, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Rudy.
Thank you very much, Terry, Rudy, for the transcript. Welcome all to this standing committee call. I think that we will probably see Anne joining us a bit later on. I suppose you have all received the email with the agenda and the text that has been proposed. It was drafted by Julie. Thanks to Julie for doing this. We can start with the agenda as it is presented. First point on the agenda is the order of consideration of the current requests from the GNSO Council. And the first one is the current practice in relation to motions. I don't know if we can put up the text. Yeah, thank you. This is a text that has been presented to the GNSO Council in Dublin. It has been discussed. In the mail you will find the text that we got back from the Council. The GNSO Council requests that the Standing Committee on Improvement of Implementation codifies the existing customary practices of the GNSO Council, and that step is completed so far. If we believe that the current practices are inappropriate, then the SEI should convey its reasons for such belief to the Council and develop new processes to govern the seconding of motions and amendments to motions. And that should be the next step to consider. We sent a letter to the GNSO Council for consideration in the Dublin meeting, together with the other letter on the resubmissions of waivers. And the Council acknowledged the two letters, but it is unclear whether the summary provided by the SEI was separately considered as to accuracy. Maybe I can call on Amr, who is our GNSO Council liaison, if there is a need for us to dig much deeper into this issue, or if we can consider that it has been accepted by the Council.
Thanks, Rudy. This is Amr. Okay, my understanding of where we stand right now on this is that the GNSO Council asked the SCI to look into sort of formalizing the procedures by which motions are submitted and seconded. What we did as a committee first before actually start beginning to work on this was to document what we believed was the current practice of submitting motions and seconding them and so forth. And we sent that as part of the letter that Rudy was briefing us on to the GNSO Council. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Council said this was okay, the current process is okay, and now we need to pick up on formalizing this by somehow considering how to include it in the GNSO operating procedures and perhaps also in reviewing the current practice, determine whether we believe that there are any changes that need to be made. And if there are, I guess we need to communicate this to the GNSO Council. That's where I think we left things off. If I forgot anything, if I misspoke, I'd be happy to be corrected by Rudy or perhaps Julie or Mary. Thanks.
Thank you, Amr, Rudy, for the transcript. I see, Maddie, you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Yes, I did raise my hand. Thank you, Rudy, and thank you, Amma. This is not to contradict you at all, but to say that you have summarized it as staff understood it. The only thing that I and Julie, because we talked about this before the call, would add is that because this was a letter to the council, it was not something that was necessary for the council to vote on to accept. And I think, Amma, you know all of this, so I'm just explaining it for the transcript and for our newer members. So our understanding from the Dublin meeting was that the document was circulated in good time for the council. And so, you know, if any councillor had any concerns or inaccuracies were spotted, that they would raise those. And given that that was not the case, the chair at the time, Jonathan Robinson, then considered that this item was closed for the time being from the council's perspective, without needing more formal action from the council. And that's why, as Amma and Rudy have said, we can now proceed to the next step of the request, which is for this group, the SCI, to consider if these steps, which we can now consider as accurately reflecting the current council practice, are indeed ideal. And if if so, they should therefore be put into the operating procedures, as Anna has suggested, or if indeed the SCI feels that certain things may be improved or there are gaps, then we will need to discuss these and go back to the council to explain why we want to change the current practice. So either codify as is or propose a change to be codified and go back to the council with that. Thanks, Amma, and thanks, Rudy.
Thank you, Mary, Rudy, for the transcript. Yeah, I think that's quite clear now that our next step should be the consideration to review the GNS operation procedures in order to figure out if we have to do some modifications to, I think if I'm not wrong, it's section 4.3, where we have motions and voting, if we need to modify the text, yes or no. I think it's the question that we need to resolve here is at that level. Is it something we need to do at that level in section 5.3, or should we consider that the text was actually drafted and present in the procedures are clear enough. So I'm looking to our group here if there are any ideas about going for a revision of section 4.3, or we think that there is actually no need to do some modifications. I'm just wondering if somebody has some opinions on this. Yes, Amr, you have the floor.
Yep. Thanks, Rudy. This is Amr. Well, I believe one constructive approach may be to, well, first we do need to develop new text for the operating procedures, whether we decide that the current practice needs to be changed or not, because there is no language that addresses any of this, whether the current practice or an amended one that we may suggest in the operating procedures now. But the approach that I would suggest is before actually working on that text is to go through the current practice thoroughly, just determine whether we do actually feel that any changes need to be made. We should probably have a lengthy discussion about any changes we do feel need to be made. I don't know if we do yet or not, but yeah, we could do that. And once we've settled on a process, then we can probably begin to develop text to be included in the operating procedures. And as Mary has noted, we have to, before we actually suggest changes to the operating procedures or to the current practice, not the operating procedures, I guess. But if we do actually have suggestions for changes to the current practice, as Mary has indicated, we need to go back to the JNSO Council and explain why we feel these changes are needed and perhaps get the Council's input as well. And then so perhaps we could also do this before actually working on definitive sort of text, or we may have some form of draft ready by then, but that's just my suggestion. And the other thing is that we do also have another project requested by the GNSO Council, which is also up on the agenda. So I guess one way to work on both of these simultaneously is perhaps to create some teams to address them in between our calls and then report back to the group, both on list and during SCI calls. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Amar. Indeed, we have another request on the table, and that's one that needs also a lot of attention and some kind of urgencies in order to manage that one. I see also, Laurie, you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Yes, I just want to second Amar's suggestion about dividing these two projects into teams. I think that's really important because so many of us now are working in multiple work groups on multiple issues, particularly with the transition. So I think it would be a better use of everybody's time if we could break up into small groups, get some conclusions and recommendations, and then have the group work on the projects and vote.
Thank you, Laurie. That's indeed a great idea. I think it's the best way to move forward is indeed looking for two groups, each group looking into the individual requirements for addressing the issue. Yes, Marie, you have the floor.
Thank you, Rudy. So just adding the staff perspective on this and following up on Amma's comment in the chat that as to whether either of these projects are urgent, you know, looking at, first of all, the workload of the community and of the council, and secondly, when these practices are normally invoked, we would say that the topic that we're discussing now, the, you know, practice in relation to proposing, seconding, and amending motions would be probably the one that would merit first consideration, because the elections issue, we obviously don't want to put that up for too long, but we will have some time to work on that. So if the SGI would like to break up into teams, I mean, that this may not be relevant as an observation, but on that score, while that's an excellent suggestion, ideally, we're a little concerned about getting participation on the teams for two reasons. One is that, you know, we have had spotty attendance at our SCI meetings for completely understandable reasons. And I think one of the main understandable reasons recently is the point that I think, Rudy, you made, that there's a lot of work and focus now on accountability and the transition. So, in other words, I guess what the staff is suggesting is to have this group consider whether you want to do the project simultaneously, in which case the team approach is probably ideal. But if you were to also decide that it's not necessary to do so simultaneously, then you could approach these projects in the order that we have them in the agenda. Thanks, Rudy.
Thank you very much, Mary. Rudy, for the transcript. Well, indeed, I think that we can categorize that the first one is of the highest priority, as that can, in fact, happen at any moment. Although, I'm just wondering, in case we are losing the chair of the GNSO, the elections of the chair becomes critical again. Not that I'm calling for losing the chair, but I'm always trying to look into the baddest situations and find the solution for it. So I consider that in priority they are both quite important. But I agree that perhaps the most important one today is getting an answer for the first one, the current practice in relation to motions. And I remember that even in Buenos Aires and in Dublin, we had this discussion about friendly amendments and so on. It's taken quite a lot of discussion and is something that probably needs more attention in the actual procedures. So maybe we can have a feeling of the room and the group in looking for participants for the first group, looking into the current the current practice and in relation to motions. Who is interested in that one? You can put your hand up, then I could eventually already create the groups. Without taking any decision today, because we need to go back to the mailing list and ask the others in the group for joining that one. Mary, I see your hand up. Is that the new one?
It is, Rudy, and I apologize for speaking so much. And this is to agree with the point that you've just made, to go back to the mailing list, and the staff will do that after this call. One supplemental suggestion to that is that, and I see that AMA's volunteered to work on both, which is great, because the suggestion that I was about to make was that subject, of course, to their preferences. It would be good if the SCI members that are either past or present council members could assist with the first topic, because they would be the ones with the most direct hands-on experience of whether it's working or not working. So that was it.
Thank you very much, Mary. And you're not talking too much. It's helpful. You have a lot of experience here in the daily job at ICANN staff, and we are occasionally jumping into this stuff. It's a great idea, and I know that I suppose that Wolf Noben is still on the call. I would like to eventually hear from him if he is willing to join that team, because he has also the experience being on the council.
And this is Terry, and Wolf Ulrich just sent an email. He was unable to stay connected due to connectivity issues.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mary, really for the transcript. Well, let's go on with this request. I propose the following, that staff will send a message to the SCI mailing list and request who will participate in what team. So we will create two teams, the first one on the relation to the motions and amendments, the discussions that we had already, and the second one looking into the new issue that is on the table. It's all about the GNSO officers elections, and especially on the chair elections, as we had this issue in Dublin, where we were not able to have a chair. It was clear that some procedures were missing in helping the GNSO getting through this in an appropriate way. So that's the proposal. I don't know if there is any objection to proceeding as such. If not, then, Amar, you have the floor.
Thanks, Rudy. This is Amar. I just wanted to be clear. Have we decided to work on both simultaneously, or are we going to work on one and one project and then the other? I just wasn't very clear on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Amar, Rudy, for the transcript. Well, I think that we need to take in consideration that we are human and something can happen. And the second question is as important as the first one. And both need to look into the actual procedures. So I think it would not be bad to do it in parallel. Maybe we discover stuff that is requesting more attention, and having both a look into the procedures, I think, is not a bad case. So I would propose that we do it simultaneously, so that we are able to give answers for the latest for the Marrakesh meeting, which is in fact only 3 months from 2 months and a half from today. Do we agree that we work in parallel on those two? I see that Amber is agreeing. Don't see any objection, so I would consider that we agree that that is a process we are going to follow. Probably Maria Julie will send a message to the group later today or tomorrow, inviting participants for both teams. And I would propose that we pick up on once we have the groups formed, that we pick up on this on mail and consider having some first responses at the next SCI call. Thanks, Marie, for following up on this. So perhaps we can leave the cases as they are today. And have more in-depth discussions once the teams are grouped. The second item on the agenda is the SEI chair, vice chair elections, nominations, and staff updates. My screen jumped away. Okay, we see on the screen the actually the request for the second issue, which is the procedures for officers elections at the GNSO and rules where we have to look into are on the section 2.2, B, F, and G. I had a look into them, and perhaps it would be good if the team that will jump into this one will go to the text and give some ideas on how to eventually propose some changes or explanations to the process as it is described today. And I think it's essentially the big one is the 2.2b, which is divided in five sub points. On the F, we have the situation where, in the event that the GNSO Council has not elected the GNSO Council chair by the end of the previous chair's term, the vice chairs will serve as interim GNSO co-chairs until a successful election can be held. I think that was the case, in fact, that what happened in Dublin, although I think that there was the question about is it the standing vice chairs, because normally the vice chairs are ending their service and term at the same time as the chair. If I'm not wrong, I probably will have to call on Amr, who has a lot more experience in the council. Is that correct, Amr? Is the are the vice chairs ending their term at the same time as the chair is ending?
Thanks, Rudy. This is Amr. Yeah, I believe the question and the request specific to the vice chairs is a matter of is also a matter that may be problematic at times if in the event if a new council chair and vice chairs are not elected. I believe the operating procedures indicate that existing vice chairs may continue as interim vice chairs until new ones are elected. However, the operating procedures don't address whether the sitting vice chairs may need to actually leave council, whether because they are not beginning a second term or whether they are term limited and need to leave council. So there's a gap in the operating procedures in the event that that may happen. So I believe that was one of the four requests that were submitted to this committee to look into. Thanks.
Thank you, Amr. Indeed, that's, I think, one of the issues that need clearance. As when we read paragraph F, it's clear it's not mentioned. What happens if the vice chairs are M-term? They normally cannot stay on and as such serve as the interim GNSO co-chair. Mary, I see you have your hand up. You have probably some explanation to this.
I did, and again, it's to follow up and add to Amr's accurate summary. And this is really, again, for those members, whether new or veteran members, who are not as familiar with, the operating procedures or this particular topic. And in helping Wolf Ulrich prepare this request to the council, I think it was very clear that the request needed to be very specific, otherwise you sort of go round and round in circles of Section 2.2. So that's why, as you noted, Rudy, there's really four questions, which is described in this Section 5 of the request. And if you look to Section 6, that's where the explanation or the context for these four topics are laid out. And specific to what you and Amr have just discussed, it is a gap in the GNSO operating procedures, as Amr noted. And that arises because under the ICANN bylaws, there is a provision that expressly says, and it's here in Section 6 of the document in front of you, that the term of both the chair and the vice chairs cannot be longer than 1 year. It doesn't say when that year begins, but it does say elsewhere that every council member serves from AGM to AGM. However, this particular section also says that the GNSO Council can specify the term as long as it's not longer than a year. And the GNSO Council has never done so, and that is the gap in the operating procedures that I believe Amr was speaking about. So it is not for the SCI to recommend changes to the bylaws unless the group feels that actually that is necessary, because that obviously is a step up from what we are chartered to do, which is to look at the GNSO operating procedures and other things will need to happen. But I just wanted to let people know what the context is, that there is a framework in the bylaws that says maximum 1 year for the chair and the vice chairs, but the council can specify a term less than that. And there's a separate section that says, every council member serves from AGM to AGM. So hopefully that's clearer in terms of not just how this arose in this past election cycle, but sort of where our limitations and the scope lie. Thanks, Rudy. Thanks, Amr.
Thank you very much, Mary, for the clarification. Rudy, for the transcript. I consider that we stick to the bylaws. We are not going to try to change the bylaws. There will probably be some changes due to the IANA transition, but we would not look into that specifically, I suppose. Let's rather look into the issue or how to solve the problem is, and as the term is 1 year, it's clear that when we have to do the election of a chair of the GNSO Council, we have automatically the vice chairs being end of term normally also. So we have to solve the issue of what happens when the vice chairs are at end term and they have to take the at interim position as co-chairs, if there are ends of term, they could normally not do it. So we would have a GNSO without any chairing positions. That's, I think, the summary of the issue itself. I don't know if we want to have a discussion today on this already. I think we have a clear view on the scenery of what is requested to do. And I would leave it up to the team that is going to dig into the text itself to come forward with some ideas and proposals on this one. Is that acceptable for everybody? Okay, I see I'm agreeing. Yes, Marie?
Thanks, Rudy. This is not to disagree at all. Certainly, it will be for that sub-team to dive more deeply into this, as you note. But again, it is for those members that haven't been following this discussion at the council level. This is one of the four issues, and they are not necessarily interrelated. So that group will have quite a bit of work to do in looking more deeply into each of the four issues. For example, one of the other issues, which also came out in Dublin, well, actually, this came up prior to Dublin, so this is an issue that wasn't directly related to the actual election that was held in Dublin, but it's the question of who is eligible to stand for chair, and we've described that in this document, so I won't go through it. But just to note that there are four issues, not all of which are interrelated. So, like I said, the team will have some work to do, and of course, hopefully, the council members who are members of the SCI will be able to assist that team as well, at least in advising it. Thanks.
Thank you, Mary. Yeah, sorry that I, Rudy, for the transcript, that I cut it off to the one specific issue that I was highlighting, but I think that's the real critical one. That is going to request a lot of time and energy to get propositions that will stand. So, let's hand over the issues to the sub-team so that they can take action and do the appropriate work. And I hope we can have the teams formed in the next 2 or 3 weeks at maximum. We probably need to have a call early January before we have the next GNSO council meeting so that we can eventually have a little report back to the council at that time. Does that work for everyone?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So, may I consider that we can close the agenda point one? We still have something like 90 minutes to go for this call. I'm not urging the teams, just that I'm trying to urge everybody to take a decision which team they would like to go so that we can finally start the teams and have the work started up early next year, if possible. I know that the council has also a quite heavy agenda for the moment with the IANA transition, IANA accountability discussions that are requiring some decisions before the year end. And having final discussions and meetings in early January. So I would say thank you for making this process started. And I would like to move on with the agenda to agenda number two, the point two, where we need to have elections of the chair and vice chair of this standing committee that need to serve for the year 2016 as the committee operates year by year, a calendar year. I think that we still have some time to take final decisions in addressing the chair and vice chair elections. Although I think it's something that needs to be done, if I'm not wrong, needs to be done before the year end. Mary, is that correct? Do we need to have a chair, vice chair for 2016 at the year end?
Hi, Rudy. This is Mary again. And the charter for the SGI does specify that the time period would be December. It doesn't actually lay out a timetable, so presumably in December, as I think Julie did a week or two ago, she started the nomination process. It really does depend on whether or not there is more than one candidate for either the chair or the vice chair, because if there is not, then obviously things will go rather quickly. If you'll indulge me, I'll go really quickly through the process if there actually is more than one candidate for either position. And if it is for the chair, then there needs to be an email election with the results to be tallied after 1 week. And the losing candidate, if there are two candidates, will have the option of accepting the vice chair position. So the significance of this is that if you have two candidates for chair, then presumably who fills the vice chair position will not be known until that election is actually held. Similarly, for the vice chair position, if there's more than one candidate, then there needs to be an election by email with a one-week tally as well. So it goes on. There's more to it than that. But, Rudy, your question about the timeline was, we probably would like to have nominations in shortly. And I noticed that Wolf Ulrich has now joined the call again. So welcome, Wolf Ulrich. And it is very timely because one of the questions that Wolf had been asking was when we would close the nomination. So it would be up to this group to decide when you want to close the nomination. It's the 10th of December. You might want to give, say, another week. And then at that point, we will see how many nominees there are for both positions and decide whether or not an election should be held. We can do the election relatively quickly, and like I noted earlier, we need to tally the results after a week. So if we do it that way, then chances are you will have a new chair and hopefully also vice chair starting in January. I hope that's clear. Rudy, I'm sorry if I rambled on. And Wolf Ulrich, I hope you joined in time to hear this particular discussion. So, again, the staff suggestion is you keep the nomination open for perhaps up to another week and then conduct an election if the election is necessary by the end of the year.
Thank you very much for this clear explanation, Mary. That's what is indeed needed. I know that we still have some time to go for final nomination, that there is not that urgent situation. Although I remember that we had in Dublin the discussion and the question from Anne asking me personally if I was willing to stand for the chair position, which in fact I'm willing to accept. I didn't act till we had the discussion today on this, but I'm eventually willing to be a candidate for the chair position. I see, Amar, you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Yep. Thanks, Rudy, and thanks, Mary, for going over the election process and schedule again. I have one comment, an issue that I've been aware of for quite some time, but it hasn't actually been much of a problem until perhaps this year's elections. And that concerns also the elections that are held in the NCUC and the NCSG. The elections for the NCSG Executive Committee and councillors, as well as the NCUC Executive Committee elections, happen pretty late in the year. The new NCUC Executive Committee has just been seated within the past week. So my concern is when new teams come on board in terms of management of the stakeholder group and constituencies, there isn't very much time for them to look into either confirming the appointments of the SCI members for the next year or perhaps changing them. And if changes are required, as will probably be the case this year with the non-commercial stakeholder group, then the incoming members don't have time, may not have enough time to either be nominable. So they can't be nominated if they choose to, and they also they may not be in a position to understand who to vote for. Coming in, if they're coming in real quick. I don't have a solution for this, and I'm not suggesting that we do solve this issue this year. I just wanted to point it out, and I do think I need to talk to the NCUC Executive Committee members and maybe work out something on that end. If not, I think I should also, I just wanted to voice that concern with the SCI and perhaps bring this back a little later to discuss it further. Thanks.
Thank you, Amr. Rudy, for the transcript. Yeah, indeed, we have some issues with elections in ICANN and the process of having elections at different times within the organization doesn't make things easier. We have to stick to our charter. That's one of the issues, although we can eventually in the future have a look into how we can change these procedures to allow the step in of newcomers in the very late time of the year. Wolf, Ulrich, I don't know if you want to address this point. I think you're on the audio now. Yes, Mary?
Thanks, Rudy. Thanks, Amma. While Wolf Ulrich is typing his comment, I just wanted to note from the staff perspective that one complication, of course, is that each stakeholder group and constituency is managed by that particular stakeholder group and constituency as part of the bottom-up process we have at ICANN. At the same time, then there are other processes that are managed by the council as the manager of the PDP. So it may be somewhat inevitable that some of these problems arise. Having said that, the SCI, because of the charter where we have the December nomination and the presumption that the new chair and vice chair starts in January, the SCI therefore works on a more calendar year basis. And on this, I guess I have two observations. One is that in terms of membership to the SCI, it is, of course, as everybody knows, up to each stakeholder group or constituency to determine who participates. But that isn't limited, obviously, to office holders or councillors. So on that note, I think the council's hope is that there can be broad participation. And on that, I'm thinking particularly that, you know, it would be helpful for someone who might be a past councillor or someone who may never have been on the council or an office holder within a stakeholder group or constituency, but may have been an active working group participant, because that sort of perspective is needed on the SS as well. So hopefully that observation helps, you know, in terms of the timing of the membership and the workload. And the second observation I would make is that, although I don't think this is something staff would recommend at the current time, is that if in the course of its work the SCI feels that either the nomination period, like in December, or the calendar year work plan doesn't actually help because it makes it harder for the various constituent groups, then that is something that this group should bring up to the GNSO Council. So I just wanted to add those two points. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary, really for the transcript. Well, I was also thinking about when we think about the calendar year, if we could align with all the elections in the different stakeholder groups and constituencies so that we are able to take up on board the new members before we have to change chair and vice chair of the standing committee, that would be quite helpful. As I see that today we don't have any members from the nominating committee, and we know that they have been formed recently also, that could eventually help us in getting a good alignment of candidates and participants in the standing committee. I'm reading the chat just in case there is something important. It only be lost, we thought. Yeah, indeed. It's only in case we are not able to solve the issue that we need to look into the charter. I agree, Amma. Could we consider that we keep the nomination period open till end of next week? That would be the 17th, if I'm not wrong, which allows us to have another week to get the elections going on, so that we are able to end the process at the year end. Is that something we can agree on? Yes, Mary, I see you have your hand up.
Thank you, Rudy. I've just been looking at the calendar. And maybe not all the new members are aware, although I think the veterans are, that the ICANN offices are closed from Christmas through New Year's Day. So working backwards from that and presuming that nobody actually wants to vote on Christmas Eve, even if you don't celebrate it, it is something that tends to either be a holiday or a day where folks are traveling, regardless of your affiliation. Our suggestion would be to close the nomination period on the Tuesday, which is the 15th. And the reason is not just the staff closure issue, but also because I think this announcement has gone out for quite some time, and 15th does seem to be at least a convenient because it's a memorable cutoff date. So if I can get the notes from today's call out to the list by today, I wonder if Rudy and the members of the call can agree that we can stop accepting nominations on the 15th so that as staff, we can open the balloting within the next day or so and give a full period for the voting and the count.
Thank you, Mary, really, for the transcript. That's to me, it's a great proposal. I'm completely with you on that date. The 15th seems to me that's just a week from now. Should be enough to have nominations getting in. And that allows the NCUC also to have their talks inside the constituency and make a proposal. I know that Amr is also involved in the NCUC and probably can get some results before the 15th. And as I said, I'm willing to accept the proposal that Anne dropped on the table in Dublin, but I will formalize that on the mailing list later on today. So we would consider the nominations ending the 15th, Thursday, so allowing us to have 7 days in total after that for the voting. And that would bring us up to the 23rd of December. I think that can indeed work and have the issue solved before Christmas, so that we can have a nice Christmas dinner. Is everybody agreeing on having the closing date on the 15th of December? We probably need Mary to drop that on the mailing list also, that we are closing the nominations on the 15th, so that we can go on with the process as a confirmation of today's call. Okay. Well, in that case, this issue will be solved also. Coming to the last point of the agenda, a call for update of the representatives of the different stakeholders and constituencies from ISPC. There was no change mentioned on the mailing list. From BC, we have no changes neither, but if I'm looking to the website, wiki, I see that Angie Graves is the primary member, but there is still no alternate member defined, or is that because there is a missing update on the wiki? And I see that for the nominating committee, we have no primary and no alternate member. So we probably need to call on the nominated committee to assign two members to this group. Amr, you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Thanks, Rudy. I was just going to address the NCUC and NCSG appointees. Didn't mean to interrupt you. I apologize.
Go ahead.
Just as I said, that the new NCUC Executive Committee with new chair and a bunch of new executive committee members has just been seated within the past week. But I will try to get a decision from them as quickly as possible on whether changes to the NCUC team, the primary and alternate, if any changes will be made. However, the non-commercial stakeholder group, which I do not represent on this committee, I happen to know, because I am involved with their policy committee that makes these appointments. So I do know that the NCSG will indeed be making changes to both the primary and alternate members. It's very likely that we already have our two candidates, and I'll make sure that the SCI has the names of those two members very soon. I do apologize for the delay in that. I was hoping to have this information ready before today's call. I just wanted to ask for a clarification on the NOMCOM appointees. If I'm not mistaken, it's not the NOMCOM that appoints members to this committee, but I think we need representatives from the NOMCOM appointees to the GNSO Council to be represented on this committee as well. That is if I recall the charter correctly. Thank you.
Thank you, Amr. And indeed, I could also have a chat with Tafani, as I'm in the NCSG Executive Committee, and get this going on in the next few days so that we have the two candidates for the NCSG. Yes, Mary, I see you have your hand up.
Yes, thank you. And just quickly, first of all, Amr, you're correct that when we talk about NOMCOM appointees to the SCI, it is from the NOMCOM counselors on the GNSO Council. And an action item for staff from the last SCI meeting was to contact the NOMCOM counselors, because we do have new NOMCOM counselors, and find out who would be the primary and who the alternate, and we don't have confirmation on that yet, but we will follow up again. Secondly, on the point about new members, Rudy, we will put this as another action item in the email to send to the list, because it does have a consequence in that if any group is intending to have new members, then they should probably be the ones that vote for the next chair if they're confirmed before the chair elections, if any, actually take place.
Thank you, Mary. Yeah, indeed, it would be appropriate that the new members would be on the list and active in the group and standing committee list so that they are able to vote for the upcoming elections. I see, Anne. Yes, Anne, you're present at the call now. Yeah, probably you have had a difference in time zone. That's probably the reason why you just came in. Are you on the Adobe Connect audio bridge? Don't hear Anne. If she is only on the AC, she is not on the audio. And we were just at the end of our agenda today, getting into the review of the updates of the members of the standing committee. We have been taking care of the two other items on the agenda, which will be on the mailing list today, actions we need to take. We decided to have sub-teams for handling the two issues on the table coming from the council, the current practice in relation to motions and the GNSO officer election. So that's taken care of, and we are still in the process.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Anne. Yes, go ahead, Anne.
I really apologize. I had this on a calendar at the wrong time somehow. Did you guys have a good meeting? Rudy, did you run the meeting?
Yes, Anne, and I was just coming to the end of the meeting, so it's good that you're here to close the and the meeting of today. As I said, we took care of the two important items on the agenda, the order of observation of the current request, where we decided to have two teams, sub-teams, each looking into one of the items that are on the table, being the current practice in relation to motions, and the second one being the GNSO officer election, so that two teams could work independently on the issue. And we decided to have the nominations period open till next Thursday, the 15th, so that we can stay in line with the calendar and not having elections ending after Christmas, as offices are closed between Christmas and New Year.
Okay, that's great. That sounds like a really good plan. I apologize profusely to everyone on the call, and it sounds like you handled it extremely well, which leads to my desire actually to nominate you, Rudy, for chair for next year, and I'll be turning that in written form as well. So congratulations on that, and I think I'll probably just be listening to the transcript as to what was decided on the call. I'm sorry I had it on the wrong time. So, Rudy, you will accept the nomination for chair, won't you?
Well, I expressed that you already asked me to step in as chair in Dublin, and I told the group that I'm accepting that proposition, and I will do it on the mailing list to be in informal way. And indeed, sorry, Amr, that I said Thursday. I'm just also conflicting dates as it's really a rushy time in the year now here. It's Tuesday, the 15th, that we are closing the nomination. So that will be in time.
Okay, very good. And I do also want to confirm our IPC representatives, because I see Lori's not on here. I guess I'm the only one from IPC coming in quite late, but we did confirm that I remain primary and Lori remains alternate for the IPC on the SCI.
By the way, Anne, ready for the transcript, Lori was on the call, but she dropped off not that long ago. But she was on the call, so we had a quite good quorum.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Well, I don't know if there is any other business we need to take care of now. Perhaps the question that the only question that is open is about the next call. When should we have a next call? Should that still be this year, or are we shuffling over to next year?
Well, probably next year, I would say. I don't know what your thinking is, but it does get to be a very busy time of year. But maybe you should call it, since it's likely that you'll end up chairing.
Well, I see Mary has her hand up. Yes, Mary?
Yes, thanks, Rudy, and thanks, Anne, and welcome. So just to recap some of the chat on this point, if we are going ahead with the subteams, and it sounds like you approve of that, and the suggestion is to have those subteams formed ideally within the next 2 or 3 weeks, and then give them at least a month to start on their work, which would then mean that it might make sense for the next SCI meeting to be sometime in February.
Thank you very
okay.
much, Mary. That allows us to have a decent end-year festivities and enjoy some receptions and dinners after New Year, too. So, Anne, I'm giving you the floor as you're the chair coming in now. If there is any other question we need to take care of, up to you.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't have anything further. This is Anne, and I just will actually leave the adjournment to you, Rudy, since you've been running the meeting. I think that would be more appropriate.
Okay. In that case, well, I think that there is no other question that we need to take care of. I would like to thank everybody for joining the call and having a good discussion. As we said, we are going to have the action list on mail later today. Thank you all, and have a nice afternoon, nice evening, until next year.
Thank you, Rudy. Thanks, Mary.
Thank you, Rudy.
And Julie. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day. Barbie, if you can please stop all recording.
Thank you, staff.